Listen, we are in for a treat tonight from Buena Vista, Colorado. Hallelujah. Z Ministries is here to share some passions from their heart. Are you ready for that? Huh? They love God, and they love people. They minister prophetically in the States and internationally. I am aware that one of their deep passions is to teach and release spiritual gifts in believers. Is there a believer in the room tonight? Give me a wave. Okay. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you are going to be blessed tonight. You're going to be blessed tonight. I'm telling you right now. All right. They raise up leaders in the kingdom by inspiring, building, and equipping the body. And who would not agree that the body continues to need building and equipping, right? So we can go out and do the work of the ministry. So I have been asked to first introduce Ryan. And you are going to come. You are with Kingdom Ministry First. And he is then going to introduce our guest. So would you please welcome Ryan Edberg. Thank you.
Well, good evening. It is good to be back here again. You guys look as beautiful as ever. Some of you may remember I got to preach here in October, and we did the youth conference here. So we are up to doing about 16 youth conferences across the country, and we're seeing kids set on fire for the gospel. You know, we've got a church, we go out there and we believe that it, just like the Bible says, we didn't come in word only, but in the power and the Holy Spirit. And so we have come here with the Holy Spirit and power tonight for you guys. Are you ready? I believe that this is going to be a meeting just like the disciples or Jesus would have had. I think we're going to see miracles this weekend, deliverance, power. You guys are going to be just in for a treat. I really believe it because you have faith and we believe in God and we are believing everything that he has for us. And we know that he wants to touch his people. And we've been doing ministry together for a long time. We have a Voice of God conference, which is what you guys are at. We're doing a 521 conference, teaching the gifts of the Spirit to people. We do Kingdom Youth all over. We're doing women's conferences called True Beauty all over. We are doing about 40 conferences a year right now. And we're seeing just America rocked for God. I believe that God is doing something in this country, and we get to be a part of it. Christianity is a participation sport. We all get to be a part of it. What if we, for a moment, just stopped playing church and started being the church? What if we got out of these walls and we showed the world God? What if we laid hands on people and saw them get healed and delivered in the streets? I go with Joe everywhere. I tell him he has got a Subway ministry. Every time we go into the Subway restaurant, somebody's either getting a word or getting healed. That's true. We're just looking for the right person. It's who give him a sandwich and you get healing for that. Thank you. It's a good thing. We don't just read the word of God. We believe it and apply it. And so we're excited. We're going to be here tomorrow night. We are going to let the roof off this place tomorrow night. We're going to be praying over people as long as people need breakthrough. We're believing for miracles. So if there's somebody that needs to be here tomorrow night, make sure you bring them. It's bring a friend night tomorrow night. So tonight we're going to be done right at 9 o'clock so you guys can get into your groups. So we're going to hurry up, and I'm going to introduce to you guys a great friend of mine. We've done ministry for about 15 years together, give or take 15, but it's about 15. And we've been together for a long time. We've done stuff in other countries. We were in Jamaica. I've never seen anybody preach in a three-piece suit out in the sun in front of all these kids before like this guy. But I'm telling you what. We had a blast, and this guy's been all over the world in other countries prophesying to leaders. He has a radio program in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm from, called Voice of God, and it's on Nashville. We're going to XM Radio. We're believing for TV very soon. And so we know that God has a message that he wants to get through. But I want to introduce you guys tonight, one of my best friends, Mr. Joseph Z. Would you make him feel welcome?
Praise God. Well, amen. Jesus is Lord. Man, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, just before we get started, this is my wife, Heather. This is my daughter, Allie, here. And just want them to say hi. And so those of you who are also joining us on Facebook Live, welcome. We were just yesterday at Karis Bible College. I don't know if you know about Karis Bible College, but we were just doing their healing school yesterday there. Had a tremendous time and literally had people getting healed on the live broadcast saying, I felt power. Praise God. Man, you can tell you're not in a dead church tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, I got to go into some churches and laugh at my own jokes, you know. Praise God. You can tell that's not this place. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great night tonight. I'll tell you what, the power of God will do everything we allow him to do. Everything we allow him to do. I want you tonight to begin to raise your expectation in this place. I want you to begin to raise your expectation for what God would do in your life. Some of you are at a glass ceiling right now. Some of you are at a glass wall right now and you're wondering why you can't break through. You're wondering why it's always comes to that you come to the glass wall and you're not on the other side yet. Tonight, I'm telling you, we are going to banish and break through glass ceilings and glass walls tonight in Jesus' name. It's coming for you right now. That's what we're in for tonight. So if you've never heard, have you ever seen me before? Anybody know me? Is this your first time seeing me? How many of you have never seen me before? Oh, you guys are into it, in for a real treat tonight. Praise God. You're in for a real treat tonight. It's going to be a good meeting. I've got to say this to you very clearly, that God's going to touch some lives in this place in a powerful way. And I just want to start out by saying this. I've heard the voice of God since I was a kid. Since I was a little kid. I remember the first time God ever spoke to me. And it used to come, before I was born again, I used to hear the voice of God. The voice of God. That doesn't mean I was going to heaven. It just means I needed Jesus. But I had a gift that was working. Amen? How many of you know a gift is a gift? Do you know there's a lot of psychics today with gifts? A lot of people have gifts out there in the world that they're not saved, but their gift works. A gift is just an item. It's a tool. A gift is something that can be filled with something, whatever you put in it. A gift is like a glass. I can fill a glass with water that'll refresh you, or I can fill it with coffee that'll energize you, or I can fill it with cyanide that'll kill you. A gift is just a glass. It's just a tool. And so a lot of people say, oh man, we've had people actually criticize our ministry before and say there's no way people can be that accurate with the word of God and it not be of the devil. How many of you know that'll bless you? That's very encouraging. You hear people say that kind of stuff. As if the devil's more powerful than God or he has more accuracy than God. How stupid can we be? Amen. We're going to have a great night tonight. And we're going to jump into gifting a little bit. We're going to talk about a few things. And I've just got to tell you, I've been on a journey. Right now I'm writing a book about it, all these things. And I've been on a journey with hearing the voice of God. And there's a number of years in my life, I didn't want anything to do with the prophetic ministry. Nothing whatsoever. Mostly because of the abuses I've seen with it. We got quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. Praise God. It's true, because I've seen a lot of abuses with it, and I know everybody has. Now, if I go down the religion road, a lot of people have been abused by religion. You've been hurt by religion. We all have those stories. We've all got those things. But here's what I want to say at the end of the day. Nothing is better for both the church and the world than one specific thing that God wants to spring on the earth. Listen to me very carefully. How many of you know that darkness is getting darker and darker in the world? It's getting so dark. I mean, the darkness is getting so dark. The blackness is getting blacker. You see it everywhere. It's just difficult. It's hard for people to discern good and evil. It's just horrible. Darkness is getting darker. Would you agree it's getting darker? I have to believe, though, in the middle of all this darkness, that God has a secret weapon. There's something that he's getting ready to spring on the world and surprise the darkness. Do you know what I think that is? Us! It's us. We're what God's trying to spring on the world. We're the answer the world's looking for. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. This is going to be a great night tonight. Man, a lot of people like to talk about how dark the darkness is. And when you go into places, can you feel the oppression? I think when they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, when you go into this place, did you feel the oppression? You know, I think Jesus said, nope, I showed up. A lot of people say, ooh, can you feel the darkness? You know, we minister all over the world in every town. Everybody's town that we minister in is typically, in their estimation, the greatest area of witchcraft and strongholds in the nation. Every town we go to. I don't know how that math works, but everybody's convinced their town is the greatest stronghold in the whole country. So here's what we got to recognize something about this, though, is the best form of spiritual warfare we can ever do is by waking up every morning and doing our calling. And so here's the deal. The number one thing that the church and the world deserve to see, the number one thing that both the church and the world deserve to see is mature believers. Did you catch the part about mature? And mature doesn't mean I have a better gift than you. I can do this. I've been saved a long time. That might just mean you're a tired believer. It doesn't make you a mature believer. It might mean you're tired. It's okay to smile tonight. Praise God. This might mean you're a tired believer. Maybe not mature. Mature, you know, doesn't mean what you know. Mature is how much you've developed in knowing your identity in Jesus, the finished works of Jesus. We're not in the Old Testament. We're not on the wrong side of the cross. How many of you know that? You know that when Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished? You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, that's good news. And he said, go into all the world and preach the good news. The good news is that it's finished. Jesus paid it all. We're not on the wrong side of the cross anymore. We got born again. Imagine this pulpit's a cross. This is the Old Testament. We're not on this side of the cross anymore. We're born again. We're on the right side of the cross. We're not saying on the left side of the cross, the wrong side of the cross. We're saying, oh, Jesus, please give, Lord, I need. Oh, Dr. Leo Marvin, give, I need. Nobody. Okay, so give, I need, I need. I have needs, Jesus, and all these things. And we are still having a mindset in many places of if we cry out loud enough, if we beg and plead with God, we're going to get an answer. And sometimes I think when people are doing that, and after Jesus has died on the cross, I think the Lord's sitting up there listening to that. And I think his heart says, shut up. Does that bother you? Did that go over poorly? And so it's just like, shut up. Did you see what my son did for you already? After God had Jesus die on the cross, he rested. He's not doing anything anymore today to make any of us righteous. Now, if you're religious, this is going to squeal inside you. Okay, we're going to go religious cow tipping just for a moment. Okay, you ever tipped over cows when you were a kid in the field? Come on, we're in Ohio. Come on. I grew up on a cattle farm. I understand how this stuff works. You go up to a cow's sleeping, and they sleep standing up, right? Most of the time. And you go up to a cow, and if it's asleep, and you give it a little push while it's asleep, what happens? Right? It'll fall over. You could tip a cow when it's sleeping. We're going to do a little bit of religious cow tipping tonight. Moo. Oh, praise God. Now, here's what I want to say about it, though, is the finished works of Jesus are on the cross. How many of you know the most central part of history, the most important thing that's ever happened in our universe was Jesus dying on the cross? And today we are no longer on the wrong side of the cross. When you get born again, we're no longer, we say we come to the cross, we receive Jesus, thank you, Lord, for saving me, I give you my life. You receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But religion wants to keep you there. Religion wants to keep you bowed down at the foot of the cross on the wrong side. Jesus didn't tell anyone, you get there and you bow down. Jesus came along and he stood us up. He stood us up as sons and daughters. He said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. I tell my friends what I'm doing. No longer are we on the wrong side of the cross. Instead, we are no longer on this side of the cross saying, please, please. Instead, we're on the right side of the cross saying, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. It's finished. It's all done. And now I'm going to walk in the finished works of Jesus. There's a big difference. Religion wants you bowed down at the foot of the cross and always confessing how bad you are and how wrong you are. When Jesus said, I don't see that stuff. I forgave you. You're done. You're on the right side of the cross. And when you get on the right side of the cross, it is the most potent thing that will strip the devil of the power of darkness in your life. I'm telling you right now, you get I call it a revelation of Jesus. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, I did not learn this from men. It came to me through a revelation, the revelation of Jesus. We know that John the Revelator in the book of Revelation, he had a revelation of Jesus that was given to Jesus Christ about the seven churches to him, right? John the Revelator, John, the guy who wrote Revelation. He literally had a revelation from Jesus. Jesus showed him the future. He showed him himself in that book. And in the Galatians chapter 1 verse 12, Paul the apostle said, this gospel I preach. Later he said, my gospel, this is not of men. This was given to me through the revelation of Jesus. Of Jesus. Jesus literally came to Paul and opened his coat, so to speak, and said, take a look at who I am. And then he went and preached what he saw. That's the gospel. And we're building up all these things where we're trying to wear people down and put heavy burdens on people. And nobody's getting free. Praise God. This is so good tonight. It's going to be very good. You guys, man, I'll tell you what. You're going to walk out of here feeling so much lighter. You're going to be like, the devil's a zero with the rim knocked off. There's no problem with the devil. When I first got born again, I used to read the whole New Testament once a week. I'd pound through it. The whole New Testament. I'd listen to it on audio Bible. I'd read it. I'd inhale it. I'd go through it. And this is like when I was in high school and I just inhale the Word of God, inhale the Word of God. Because I wanted to know God. I wanted to know God. And I'll never forget every time I started walking into like seeker-friendly churches where they do puppet shows to get people saved. You know what I'm talking about? Hi, my name is Mr. Fred. I want you to get born again today. Well, I think that's a marvelous idea. How many of you want to come forward tonight? Everybody okay? You get on that road, and how many know people are like, haha, that's great. Okay, sock puppets. You know, okay, I'm being very figurative here. I hope that we're, are you guys rolling with me, or did I just leave the dock? Okay. And so what we understand is I walk into churches like that, different places as a teen. I walk in loaded with the Holy Ghost because of the Bible, just spending time. Walk in and I walk into seeker-friendly churches and I'd have demons manifest when I walked in the door. If you got a demon tonight, it's probably going to manifest. Amen. Especially a religious one. They squeal like stuck pigs. This is going to be a good night tonight. Praise God. I'm with the right crowd tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, you guys got faith, man. This is going to be a good meeting tonight. And so here's what we begin to understand. Did you know that God and Jesus, they're the most non-religious people you'll ever meet? As a matter of fact, God hates religion. I've had people come and say all the time, religions and Christianity and every other religion started all the major wars and all the history and all that stuff. And I say, you're right. That's true. Religion started all of it, but not God. God hates religion. He loves people. He loves people. And when you start to get over some of this stuff, you'll get rid of literally a religious form of how we relate to God. And you start to have real relationship with Jesus. And then you engage true, raw, spiritual horsepower. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of people show up at meetings and even after meetings come up, say, I can control your mind because we get in a prophetic flow sometimes. I've had witches, warlocks, all those goodies, you know, show up at meetings and psychics and the whole bundle. Show up, and sometimes we get along because I can talk to him and say, look, you were just hurt by the church. You were crushed, and you have a real gift. And sometimes they're just goofballs that have no gifting at all. And you just work with them, and then you draw them out of darkness into light. I actually love psychics because they have a supernatural flow. They're just working for the wrong boss. Wrong boss. And so all that to be said, you know, there's been these things. I had a guy come up to me after a meeting one time, and he said, I can control your mind. And he got up in my face. I was like, what? He said, I can control your mind. And I was like, you can control my mind, punk? You know, you, man. And he came up to me and he's like, gets in my face. He's like, I can control your mind. I can do whatever I want. I said, well, take your best shot. I said, I'm a blood-bought believer. Go for it. Let's see how this turns out. And he's like, you know, I said, are you feeling okay? You know, and he's looking at me. Next thing you know, he's like, and he bends over and starts puking on the ground. I should have used the word, he began to lose his lunch. I don't know what I should have said. But he did that. And the next thing you know, he's in that place doing that. And I just said, so is this you controlling my mind? Is this all part of it or what? The deal is that darkness, when it gets around real authority, it knows it, man. It knows it. And there's no arrogance in that. It's not like, oh yeah, you know, I'm all that. Just if you put the word of God in you, if you begin to prepare your heart with Jesus, you really get in there and you get rid of religion and you start getting to know God. He's not religious at all. I have literally heard God laugh before. And it was at me. True story. I heard God laugh. I'm trying to remember what it was. I just remember him laughing. I said, you are laughing. And he's just like, you know, yeah, that was really funny. You thought you were all serious, and here you are doing this. That was pretty funny to me. I was like, okay. I'll tell you what, God can be your best friend. The Holy Spirit can be your best friend. That's the reason people burn out in ministry. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They get carnal. They get in the flesh, and people go sideways on them. Things happen, and they literally just fall apart. They burst at the seams. I've just got to be honest with you guys tonight. Jesus wants you free more than you do. If you need healing in your body, Jesus wants you healed more than you want to be healed. He wants to speak to you more than you want to hear it. It's true. So I've been on this journey, this whole thing about spiritual gifting and all these things. I had my first open vision when I was in my teens, my first trance when I was in my teens, had my first vision and things like that when I was probably, it was a day vision, and it wasn't spiritual at all. There was nothing spiritual about it, but it was in the mid-80s. I was watching TV, and all of a sudden I saw a movie preview for Rocky IV. Remember when he fought the Russian? Everybody remember that? How many Rocky fans we got in this place? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You guys get bonus points tonight. So he's fighting a Russian in the Rocky IV, but the problem is I saw this preview 2 years before the first preview ever came out. And you say, why would you see something like that? I have no idea. Because if you focus on things and you got a gift inside, sometimes just information comes. It just happens. There's two kinds of prophetic people. There's actually three classes of prophetic people. Then there's four classes of prophet. Okay? Three classes of prophetic people. Certain prophetic people are literally people that were born with a gift. Some people asked for the gift or had an impartation of the gift. And then other ones are basically people that are developing into a prophetic training. They have different levels inside that. There's four different kinds of prophet, and I can talk about that. Let me just qualify something about prophets here for a moment before somebody jumps up and says, I'm a prophet. Let me say this here very quickly. That happens sometimes in meetings. I'm a prophet. It's like, well, if you have to say so, sit down. Thank you very much. If you got to tell me your title, I think we already lost the conversation. I'm a prophet. Well, okay. All right. I'm Joseph. You'd be like, we know. And I wouldn't have to defend that because that's actually who I am. A track record proves a prophet. But let me really say this. Just because somebody's prophetic does not make them a prophet. Gifting. Listen to me. You can have people that are prophetically gifted. Stronger than a prophet's gift, but that does not make them a prophet at all. No more than no more than somebody standing in a garage makes them a car. Have I offended anyone yet? I'm trying. No, I'm just kidding. Not at all. But here's the deal. Just because you have a prophetic gift does not make you a prophet. Do you know what defines a prophet? This is going to be fun tonight. Nobody wants to answer. They're like, I don't know. Do we like this guy or not yet? We don't know. Do you know what defines a prophet? The office of the prophet, one of the fivefold ministries in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. What defines the office of the prophet is one word. Responsibility. It means God has called you to that office. It doesn't matter how strong your gift is to prophesy. If God has called someone to the office of the prophet, it's because he's put them in charge of an area in fivefold ministry that they are responsible for a sphere of influence. Responsibility to edify and build up the body of Christ in a fivefold ministry gift is what defines a prophet. No different than what defines an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. People can be amazingly prophetic and they get mislabeled prophets. And that can be damaging actually. Because you have people that can see dreams, they have dreams, things come to pass. It does not make them a prophet. It does not put them in fivefold ministry. How many of you know between Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians 4, there are 21 different gifts of the Spirit. 21 total. Five of those gifts govern the entire 21. They have a responsibility. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. So that's something that we need to understand. So when people say, I'm a prophet, you say, well, what are you responsible for? No, God speaks to me and I just float around like a butterfly, man. I don't know what's coming one day to the next. You're not a prophet. Sit down. You're prophetic. Prophetic people are like that. You know, they like to float. Hallelujah. You know, that's prophetic people. Ooh, did you feel that? Oh, Jesus, I felt that. And then you'll have somebody that's an administrator and be like, I didn't feel anything. What'd you feel? You know, you have the tickle me Jesus prophetic people. Yeah, it's Jesus. You know, right? Tickle me Jesus. Right? We are in a prophetic church, are we not? Some of you should really know what I'm talking about. You've all seen those weirdos, amen? You might be one of those weirdos. Everybody okay? Amen. They are. How many of us are weirdos tonight? Amen. Praise God. There's people like, that's me. Yep. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's the deal. God has a tapestry of color in his body. He really does. But I believe I came here tonight to help you really hone some things, to get some things, some horsepower and some traction. Praise God. And we're not just going to talk. We're going to prove it. We're going to do show and tell tonight. Remember school? Had a little talking about it, and then you showed it. Show and tell. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to show and tell the gifts. Praise God. Praise God. So now I've built two Bible schools. I've done a lot of things. I teach all over the world. I do a lot of teaching, all these things. So many times it depends on the church I go into, how God needs me. And tonight we're going to have fun. God's going to touch people. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm a completely free preacher. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So let's talk about this very quickly here. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, out of the New King James. 1 Corinthians 15, 46. I'll just paraphrase it very quickly for you. It says, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. The natural is first, then the spiritual. Listen to me very carefully. It says the spiritual is not first, but the natural. The natural is first, not the spiritual. Now, in context, this is talking about Jesus was the first, or Adam was the first one to come, the first God-man to come, and Jesus was the last. He was the spiritual conclusion of first came Adam, then came Jesus. And so I just want to say to you very clearly that the natural is first, not the spirit. And you say, wait a second. Isn't the spirit what's supposed to be first? 1 Corinthians 15, 46. It is not the spirit that is first, but the natural. And then comes the supernatural or the spirit. Let me ask you a question. What has the greater authority, the natural or the spiritual? Why? Here's why. The reason that the spiritual has greater authority than the natural, the answer is yes, the spiritual has greater authority. The reason the spiritual has more authority than the natural is because the spiritual gave birth to the natural. The natural did not give birth to the spiritual. The spiritual, therefore, is the parent force to the natural. So whatever happens in the spirit, it is the greater reality because all of this is created from that. God is a spirit, John 4:24 says, and those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. And we begin to understand this. God is a spirit. He's a spirit. He's not natural. He's not natural. As a matter of fact, that's the reason that God can't just do whatever he wants in this natural world. And I know people think he can. He can't. You say, yes, he can. No, he can't. People say, wait a second, how can you say that? Now, let me just back up for a moment. Is God all powerful? Can he run anything? Can he do whatever he wants? Absolutely. Could God run over things and do it? He could. But the problem with that is he would violate his own promises. If he violated his own promises and broke his own word, it says in Hebrews that this whole universe is held together by the word of his power. And if he violated his own word, the whole universe would come unraveled. If he violated the very thing he created the universe, this world with, and he violated his own word, this world would come unglued. Everything would just cease to exist. So he places his word, I believe, as Psalm 38, it says he places his word all above his name. Amen? Amen? So we recognize something about this. You say, well, wait a second, God could do whatever he want. No, he can't. No, he can't. That's the reason that he gave dominion of this world to Adam and Eve. And Eve, with Adam right there, gave it over to the devil. And by the way, Adam wasn't deceived when he gave it over to the devil. It says the woman was deceived in 1 Timothy, not the man. Adam was right there, and he participated willingly in what the devil was projecting in the garden. And because he did it willingly, knowing what he was stepping into, he gave dominion of this world over to the devil. Why didn't God just kill them all? Because he made a promise to Adam that he should take dominion of the earth and be fruitful and multiply. He wasn't going to break the promise he made to Adam. The issue is the devil hijacked that promise, got Adam's authority almost like in a hostage situation, and said, I have him, I have him. And God said, okay, well, I have a plan too. Roughly about 4,000 years from now, I'm going to stomp on you. That's what he said. He said, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And it took the entire Old Testament of people prophesying in bits and pieces. Holy men of old were carried along as they were inspired by the word of God. And they began to prophesy about the coming one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They began to prophesy and say things. And finally, all the words they'd said over thousands, even hundreds of years, culminated in the words they spoke, the word of God that they prophesied. Those words, the same word that was in the spirit, that they prophesied into the natural. The word that said, let there be light, because it says in Proverbs 8, that through him the worlds were formed, and he created everything in the beginning. And John chapter 1 says, I was with him in the beginning, face to face. The word was with him, and the word was God, and the word was with God. John chapter 1. All those words spoken and prophesied in the Old Testament all culminated. They culminated in people speaking what was a spiritual truth. They spoke it from the realm of the unseen into the realm of the seen by prophesying as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It took hundreds of years of people prophesying. Isaiah was really heavy on it. Until finally we got to John chapter 1 and the word became flesh. Because men had to speak it out for hundreds of years in faith. Until finally Jesus could manifest from the realm of the unseen to the realm of the natural because mankind had dominion in this world. And they had to speak and prophesy that unseen word first in the natural, then from the spirit into the natural, and that unseen word became flesh. And that's where we are today. So Jesus shows up in the natural. Can you imagine? Now just think, just put yourself in the devil's position for a moment. The devil took mankind hostage. As a matter of fact, in the book of Job, I think he had his aha moment. I don't think the devil knew what he had until Job showed up. People say, I'm going through a Job's trial. I'm going to a Job's trial. You don't understand. It's so hard. If you're going through a Job's trial at the end, you should come out with 10 times more. in the end. As a matter of fact, Jesus upped the ante, and actually in the New Testament, what took place is Peter was going to be sifted like wheat, the same way the devil tried to sift Job, but Peter literally was prayed for by Jesus. Job didn't have anybody interceding for him. Okay? Jesus put a stop to the devil. He said, you want to talk about my boy? Why don't you come talk to me? Now listen to me. Jesus showed up in the natural. Mankind had authority in the natural. Spirits have no authority in the natural. Mankind has authority. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of spirit. First of water, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Water means you're born of a woman. Your water breaks and wah, 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 we're here. That's what it means. So they're born into the natural world. They have physical bodies. They're walking around. But the devil hijacked the authority of man in the natural. But even when he had the mankind hijacked, mankind still has more authority than the devil, even if they don't know Jesus. For one reason. You have a physical body in this natural world. So Jesus, they prophesied about the Messiah all through the Old Testament until we finally get to the New Testament and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Now think about that. Put yourself in the devil's position. He had hijacked God's favorite creation. He'd hijacked it. All these things take place and he's like, I have control over these precious things to God. And I have dominion over them because God can't interfere because they have authority and I have their minds clouded. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And Jesus walks up. And you remember the first time he runs into demons in the New Testament? You know, the first few times. Remember when the guy who was chained up and he had a legion of demons? They said, why have you come to torture us before our time? He's basically like, shut your skull cave. Are you guys with me tonight? Or are you like, where'd they find this guy? Where'd they find him? Oh, Jesus. Okay, how much longer? Okay. So he walks on the scene and the demonic forces of darkness see him coming and they look to him. And you know what I think the devil said? It's not fair. No, this isn't fair. And I think Jesus walked up. I think he's smiling at everybody else. And on the inside, his eyes are looking at the devil. I think he looked at the devil, and I think the devil heard heavy metal playing. And Jesus is like, how you doing? Yeah, it's been a while. Remember me? And the devil's like, not fair. He's like my body? That's right, boy. I got a physical body. What do you got? And Jesus came in the flesh and defeated sin in the flesh. And he beat the devil at his own game. And then he descended and ripped the keys away from hell, death, and the grave. And when he ascended, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, 10, 11. Jesus ascended and he gave gifts to men. 21 gifts, 5 of them manage the 21. And that's what Jesus has done for us. So when you begin to recognize what he paid for and where we stand and who you are and what we are and what we're capable of, you are just like him. You say, oh, no, that's not possible. That's not true. No! Nobody gets my pop culture humor, do you at all? Anybody? Right there? Yes. Amen. I hear that Star Wars. Anybody else Star Wars? Which one? Nobody. Empire Strikes Back, right? No. Okay. Praise God. So anyway, in that moment, we recognize this, is that Jesus literally defeated sin in the flesh. And he left gifts for you and I. And he loves it when his kids play. He loves it. But he gave you gifts for a purpose. He gave us gifts not just so we come to church and have kind of like a supernatural water fight every week. Splash, splash. Oh, you got me in the eyes that time. Splash, splash. Oh, how about a sloosh? It's great. Nobody's really getting born again. There's no disciples, no maturity, but sploosh. It's amazing. You got wet again. So awesome. Here's what I want to say about this. Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. He's not in a bad mood. God's not in a bad mood. He likes you. He's not angry. God's not about to judge America. God's not about to pour out wrath on America. Listen to me. There's a prevalent stuff with this today, especially in prophetic circles. Oh no, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. I said, Lord, is it really going to happen a few years ago? He said, no, because the young lions are coming. He said, no. The young lions are coming. We're going to have one more round in this nation. The young lions are coming. And people say, no, God's going to pour out wrath. God's going to get you. If God wanted to get you, he'd have got you by now. Think about it. He's not a bad shot. God's not a bad shot at all. If he was going to get you, he'd have done it by now. He'd have made a grease spot in the ground. That's right. The reverse layup shot. I remember that. Amen. Praise God. And this we got to remember now is that God, literally, if he wanted to get you, he'd have got you by now. He'd have got you by now. He's not looking to get you. We have an idea in Western Christianity that God, it's like a Mount Olympus picture. Do you know where we get this crazy sovereignty of God teaching? From the Greeks. And Mount Olympus. And God might be angry. And he's like a Zeus up there. He's like, come over here, Hermes. Come here. Billy has angered me again. For the last time. Bring me my bolt. And Hermes is like, yes, Lord. Brings it to Zeus. And he starts to sharpen it on the grinding wheel with a foot pedal. Getting it all sharpened. And then he's like, Billy's running. He knows I'm angry. Run, Billy. Do it, run. You'll be judged tired. Watch this, Hermes. That was a cancer bolt. That's not God. I have another word for that. What is that word? Stupid. That's stupid believing. God, that's not God. That's not how God is. God loves you. If he wanted to get you, he'd have got you by now. He'd have ripped your life apart and handed you nothing. He'd have said, how do you like that? He'd not like that. God loves you. And religion comes along and mars our view of God, and it's inaccurate. God's not killing your kids. God's not making you sick to teach you something. What do you learn by being sick? I learned to persevere. Well, if it's glorifying to God that you learn to persevere by being sick, maybe you should just die. Why do 30-fold? Go all the way to 100 and just die. If it brings God glory when you're sick, why do you go to the doctor? I go to the doctor because I'm just rebelling against God's will. God made me sick. I'm trying to get better because he's teaching me something. He's teaching me how to be sick and ineffective and miserable. God actually killed some of my family because he taught me that it's better to live without them. And them not fulfill their destiny. That's God's will. That is not in the Bible anywhere. And only religion comes to you and says that it's God's will, or God needed someone in heaven with him and he killed somebody, gave him cancer, and we don't know why these things happen. Uh-uh. It makes you passive and ineffective. When cancer gets on somebody, we fight that with everything we got. Because we are free moral agents. We have authority on this earth. Jesus defeated sin in the flesh. And therefore, we also have authority in this world. Because as he is, John 3, 1 John chapter 3 says, as he is in this world, so are we. And when we step out and start walking these things out, man, Jesus never went, well, God gave this to you for a reason. Remember when Peter and the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Lord, why did this man, why do they have this sickness? Did they sin more than some other people? And he said, no, not at all. He said, neither, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's what he was saying. So praise God. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus also said, see, they said, remember when the Tower of Siloam fell and killed those 18 people in the Bible? I think it's like in Luke chapter 13 or something. The Tower of Siloam fell and killed those 18 people. Remember that story? Killed those 18 people. And they said, Lord, were they all worse sinners? And they also said, remember when Pilate had the armies come in and mingle people's blood with their sacrifices? What? Why did God judge these people is what they said. Jesus said, no, that's not at all what this is about. He said, but unless you all repent, you'll all likewise have the same end. Jesus is saying this stuff happens, but it ain't God. Too much? Was it too soon? I mean, I know we're here to, everybody okay? Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and say, you'll be okay. Say, it's all right. It's all right. Everybody's going to be okay. It is well. Praise God. Hey, thank you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. I really like you, brother. I can see you've given up a lot of business and stuff to do this in a way that would really serve God first. God's going to prosper your church. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. Sir, what propelled you to give me a bottle of water? You just decide you want to get me a bottle of water?
Yes, sir.
That's really cool. I want to say something to you. The Spirit of the Lord is going to break off three attacks you've had against your home and against your life. You've had things that have tried to alter things where you've had lies about your legacy and where you were going and what you were going to be. You've had people that have misunderstood you, and you've been frustrated at times when people were talking and laughing and there was things that were missing pieces for you in the conversation. And the Lord is saying to you very clearly, I am going to give you victory over the next year and a half. I'm going to begin to open another season of understanding to you, because through much mentorship and teachability, I will take a man that has a servant's heart and bring him higher. I will bring him forward, and I will open a door that no man can shut. And I see God giving you great favor in those days. Now, there's things that people walked away from you. There's things you lost, and you've tried to serve a lot of people. You've been misunderstood as well. But I want to say to you, those seasons, they're over for you. You're bringing some things forward. There was almost a legal thing that hit you, but you're on the other side of it. And the Lord says, that's over with. You're coming into a new season today, and God says, that whole season's done. I'm bringing great favor to you, and I'm going to open up the crooked places and make them straight. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for bringing me a cup of cold water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God's not religious, neither should we be. Thank you, Father. We were talking about first in the natural, then in the supernatural. Let me just talk about that for a moment. We understand, did you get that when Jesus was the Word made flesh? You understand that? So Jesus is the Word made flesh, because prophets had to prophesy about him for hundreds of years until it could finally come into the natural. When you speak the Word of God, listen to me very carefully. You speak, how many of you know that that's natural? You're talking. You're formulating words with your vocal cords. Okay, you're making something happen. You're giving utterance into the natural. When you speak and you mix it with your faith and you speak out the Word of God from the Scripture and you begin to speak it out, the words you speak will also be made flesh. Or let me say it another way. They will manifest for what they are purposed to do in line with the Word of God. When you begin to understand this, it gives you real horsepower, okay? You start to pray differently. You know, a lot of times we run around, we think if we're louder and we're screaming and we're demonstrative and all this stuff, that God's going to hear us better. Not true. God just wants some faith mixed with his Word. He loves it. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is wanting to touch some folks tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And we will get to that 9 o'clock mark here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God is good and he wants to love you. Praise you, Jesus. Young lady back here, you have a shorter haircut. You're right by this lovely lady here, and you just turned your head. Yes, you. Thank you. Yeah. I saw an attack that came against your mind. You've analyzed things till sometimes you paralyze. You come into a place where you just overprocess things. And the Lord is saying to you, that's going to come to a close here tonight in Jesus' name. You are an awesome lady. You have the hand of God on you, and you think clerically and clinically. You have a way that can create avenues of organization that causes people to live. And God's going to move in that area for you even stronger. But there's been a confusion that tries to come on you, and your very gift turns against you at times and fights against you. And so I want to say this over you right now in Jesus' name. The things that have fought you, any confusion, external things that you've gone through recently, I just say in Jesus' name, I speak peace over the circumstance, and I command life into your very present situation. I bless you in Jesus' name. You are God's lady. You're a neat lady. Does that make any sense to you at all? It does? Well, here's what I want to say to you. Admin, things like that, you would rock it. But when confusion gets in there, it's very difficult. And the very process that gives you life turns against you. And you start to process against yourself, and it brings you to a paralyzed state mentally of how can I function. I release you of that tonight in Jesus' name. That's over with in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're cool. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there's relational things. I get all this that you're working through. God is giving you favor. You're going to win. Praise God. Next year does not have to look like this year. Bless you in Jesus' name. This is great. Well, we didn't get all dressed up for nothing. And you can't get that at Walmart. Amen. Praise God. This is great. I like you, brother. You got a real spirit of encouragement on you. I see that you stand sometimes in a way that you're like a sounding board for leadership. You stand in a place where you're able to be there. Amen. And you stand in a place where God gives you strength and ability. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak life over this man of God in Jesus' name. I saw something trying to get at you in your chest and your body. That's not going to happen. I command life over you in Jesus' name. The word of God is flowing through you. There's great victory inside of you. And I see the Lord giving you a longer run than you would have had initially in Jesus' name. I don't care what has come in your mind or what's gone around you. You also have a gift of faith. Sometimes your gift of faith is like Peter, you know, like the apostle Peter. Just Lord, if it be you, bid me come. What was Jesus going to say? It be not I. Jesus said, it's me. And Peter said, oh, that's my sign to come. And so I just want to say to you, you have a wild faith, man of God, to stand with leaders. You have a wild faith to say, we'll get through it. You're an exhorter. Sometimes you speak when you shouldn't, but you're an exhorter. And I just say to you, God has called you and you have a mighty strength to stand and raise the arm of leadership. So I bless you for that in the name of Jesus. And God's working something out with a young man too. I see a young man and God's putting favor into that life. And I see you stretching out your hand with wisdom and your hand of authority to say, do this, don't do that. You are loved. It's going to work. And I see God giving you favor in that arena as well. I bless you guys in Jesus' name. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Somebody on the broadcast right now is having an organ trouble. There's something going on in one of their organs. I don't know if it's, I don't understand what it is even, but I'm trying to see it exactly. It could be a liver. There's something there. There's just like organs and some things. I release healing power to you right now in the name of Jesus. Any area where there's organs or you're having digestive issues, especially that, I just speak wholeness to you right now. It's over with. You are blessed, you are healed, and God is touching you right where you are right now. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise God. Sir, you also have a leadership gift on your life. You're in the the flannel. Yeah, right there. You have a leadership gift on your life. You have ability to bring counsel to things, and you actually have a teacher's mind. You have the ability to clarify and bring clear information to people that will operate in clarity, bringing them from A to Z with clarification. You can paint by numbers for people so they get it. And I see that ability inside of you. You're a student of the written word, and you can also give people the written word. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. I speak order into that. Thank you, Father, that there will be a right sizing to some things in your path right now. I saw some things were about to capsize in a few areas, and the Lord's going to right size that for you. And it's not because you did anything wrong. It's literally just because things have gotten out of whack in a few areas, and the Lord says, don't fret, don't fear. I'm going to right size all of it. And just keep walking, keep believing, keep working hard, and it's all going to come to pass. It's going to turn out for your good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Father God. That's good stuff. Jesus likes you. He actually likes you. I mean, he does. Bro. He does. Man, you're an evangelist, brother. He does, too. He literally likes you. He likes hanging out with you. Jesus likes coming to my meetings. You might say, you're arrogant. Nope. I just know him. Jesus would sit on the front row and be like, oh, that's good preaching, Joseph. Come on. That's what I said. That's what he would say to me. That's exactly what I said. I'd be like, I know, Jesus. I'm plagiarizing everything you ever said. Amen. Some meetings, Jesus is in the church and he sits in the back row and he's asleep with his head against the wall. And he loves you. But here's the deal. You know, here's what I've learned about ministry, guys. If I'm not having fun, you aren't going to have fun. If I don't like what's going on, you aren't going to either. If I was like, let us open to the chapter of Luke, chapter 2 of Luke. We're going to go down to several verses, and I will read several passages today. And you will find great comfort, God willing. You know? That'd be awful. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, I would too. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to set you free. He wants mature believers out of his people. God's cry to the world is, repent and be saved. God's cry to the church is, renew your mind. That's it, man. That's how this thing works. Praise God. You get a hold of the real stuff, religion won't know what to do with you. It will hate you. It will try to fight you. It will attack you. It'll do all these things. It really will. Religion just fights you. And I want to say clearly today, Jesus, he's not religious. He wants you to live, move, and have your being. Praise God. Many concerns, sir, here on this seat here. You got the beard. Praise God. Amen. I like that. I was doing an Amish meeting one time. There's so many Amish. It was packed with Amish. And I looked to the back and I said, sir, with the beard. And they all looked at me. That was a challenging statement in that meeting. Yeah. I have a fan club in the German Baptist community too. Very famous there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. They're like, you go to a Joe Z meeting, that head covering will be off in 5 minutes. You guys don't even know what to say with that. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus didn't came to give us bondage. Praise God. He came to give us liberty. And I'm not, if you're in some religious form and you love God that way and that's a pure thing to you, I'm not attacking you. Please don't feel that way. You just don't have to. That's all. You have to do anything to be pleasing before God, righteous like that. You know, you don't have to dress a certain way. You know, people that say, I don't wear makeup. It doesn't make you holy. It just makes you less attractive. That's all. And I'm talking about men. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'm saying now. Huh? What happened? I was trying to be PC. I'm sorry. Okay, praise God. Brother, God's got a calling on your life right now. I bless you in Jesus' name. God's got a calling on you. You have a marking on you, and there's been things that have literally tried to slow your momentum down, slow you down. I see you running with some people you ought not to be running with, and I don't mean like in a sinful way or wrong. That's not what I mean by that. I just mean that there's drag, not propulsion, with some of the people you're running with. And they're not bad people. I'm not trying to paint a negative light about anything. But I sense this clue that the Lord wants to unhitch you from some things, to rehitch you to some things that'll take you farther, faster, in a way where there'll be great victory. So I release that over your life. It's okay to shift gears and change lanes when this lane isn't going anywhere. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Be ye free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, praise God. We're having a pretty good time tonight, I think, right? Nobody's totally mad yet. That's good. I like this. This is a good meeting. Thank you, Jesus. Well, here's what I want to do. We're going to stop right now. We're going to receive an offering tonight. Ryan and I do this all over the world. We're literally building what we call a kingdom movement. And we've decided instead of complaining about the young generation, we're going to go save them. We decided through Kingdom Movement, the Kingdom Youth Conference, we're going to go and get young people and we're going to confront them with the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, not in a rude way, but in a very beautiful, Jesus-loving way where people can actually have a touch from God, an actual touch from God. Sarah, forgive me, I'm breaking form for a moment here. Man of God over here, the handsome man who looks like Carl Weathers, praise God. I bless you. Sir, you're turning around. You're the handsome black man right there. Yeah. And sir, I want to say this to you right now. You literally, you have a voice to leaders. You have a voice to political people. You have a voice to people of influence in a political persuasion, whether it's in the smaller community or wherever it is. But I see God using you from favor, a place of favor, to speak into people through business. I see multiple streams of business that you're going to speak into. You have a ministry persuasion on your life, but I see you speaking into business majorly, and God's going to bless you on both sides of that aisle. So I speak life over you in Jesus' name, and I see you having favor where you have the ear of someone of influence, and that's going to become a theme because people are just going to like you. They're going to trust you. They're going to say, I like that man. What does he have to say? And when you speak, people start listening. So I bless you in Jesus' name. I just want to say that over you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. That's your uncle? Come on, man. I take it that's your nephew. Praise God. Oh, that's awesome. Well, let's do this tonight. We're just going to take a moment. Pastor Tom has been so kind to allow us to receive an offering here tonight for the ministry we're doing. And we're doing Voice of God conferences all across the country. A lot of times we take a worship team with us. We build things. The Kingdom Youth Conference is really an effective youth conference. We're actually the last itinerant youth conference like us left in America. That's actually promoting spirit-filled life and doing these things. Many churches and organizations do a conference, like an annual one. We're the last itinerant one. And you heard Ryan said he has 16. I actually know we have many more than that that we're looking at doing next year in 2019. And so that's just one thing we're doing. You heard about the women's conference. You've heard about that we're probably going to do men's and all these different types of things. And we also do a 521 conference, which is just for leaders, and developing their spiritual gifts, giving them networking with other leaders and those kind of things. So this is what we're building, and we want to get after it. I also am looking to be on XM Radio as soon as we can. I'm finishing up two books right now, and we're going to get on XM Radio when those are completed, and we have a standing contract that we can go forward with as soon as we do that. So we'll be able to reach potentially 30 million listeners on XM Radio. Yeah, and we're going to bring this message. We're going to bring the spirit-filled message of Jesus, the complete gospel. How many of you know the complete gospel is this? You say, what is that? There's only one gospel. Amen. There's only one gospel. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died and was resurrected on the third day. And if you repent, you're saved. You give him your life. That's the gospel. But it's not that that makes it, that's correct. You hear that. That's correct. And you believe it. You're saved. But the completeness of it is, when you believe it, it's working through you. So the correct part is, yes, all those things are true. But the gospel you hear preached is correct, but it's not complete until it's working through you. the gospel is just never meant to be preached. And boy, that's accurate. That's accurate. But you hear it and okay, you can be saved, but it's not complete until it's working through you in a revelatory way, a demonstration of Jesus. That's the complete gospel. And we want to preach the complete gospel. You say, where's that in the Bible? Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. In him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and you are complete in him. Now, that's what we're preaching. And we want to take this message to raise up an army of young lions. Because the Lord showed me they're going to influence politics in the next few decades. They're going to influence things. We're having a wave of young lions come. First comes the counterfeit where you see people trying to burn stuff down and protesting everywhere. That is an antichrist Jezebel spirit, by the way. It really is. It really is. Hear me. Whether you agree with the president or don't agree with the president or whatever, that's an antichrist Jezebel spirit. It is. It's anti-authority. It's equal to witchcraft. So when you understand some of these things, we're trying to go get a generation and raise them up. So they can move in the complete gospel, have a relationship with Jesus, and burn with the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason we're not seeing people last in ministry and go forward and have victory in all these areas is people aren't full of the Holy Spirit anymore. We've literally intellectualized Christianity. Relegated it into a corner of intellectualism, a paint-by-numbers Jesus. And we've got to get to the point where we have people, disciples. The reason some people can't stand with leaders for a long time is they're not full of the Holy Ghost. They're full of themselves. And we got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, there's a difference between those who are and who are not. So that's what we're about. That's what we're standing with. And we have, can you get me one of those, honey? We have partner brochures and these things. And these are a little bit older. We're going to be doing some for the Kingdom Movement, also the Joseph Z. Now, I have a live broadcast I do every single weekday morning. Every single weekday morning. Monday through Friday, I am live on Facebook for 1 hour or sometimes 2.5 hours. Where I preach, I teach, and then I prophesy. And we're looking to just help people. You know, you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, Jesus. Some people get up in the morning and they say, oh, good morning, Lord. Other people wake up and they're like, good Lord, it's morning. Now make me a coffee before I kill you, you know. And was that too much? Okay, anyway. And so we got to realize this. So we have Momentum Partner brochures. And if you'd like one of these, I think Jason has offering envelopes and some of these brochures. If you'd like to see what it is to become a partner with our ministry, we sure would appreciate that. We're not here asking or begging, but we give opportunity. And if you want to do that, I believe there's a spirit of increase on this ministry. And when you give to it, we firmly believe in increase. I am right now planning, and I've stirred in my heart, where I'm going to give my first $1 million. We're working towards that. And you say, $1 million? Yeah, that's just predicated on when we get up to 20 million. I'm believing God that way. Because the body of Christ has had this lie about prosperity. Okay, and of course, are there abuses with it? Absolutely. Are there truth with it? Oh man, so much more. And I got to say to you, there's a dome like over the sky of this earth that the church, the body of Christ, has not broken in the way of resource yet. And I'll tell you what, the Lord put a burning word inside of me, and he challenged me to the metal for about a decade of radical giving before he let me preach it. Because a lot of people say, oh, give. That sounds real good, preacher. What's in it for you? My money? You know? But what's in it for people of God is if you literally understand that if you're tested and true in this and everything I possess is in the palm of my hand, and if God says, I want you to give your home away, I want you to give this away, he knows it takes about 30 seconds for me to answer that. I think about it and I go, yes, sir. And we've done it. We've given multiple vehicles away, multiple things away, given up properties, done all these different things. And so I'm saying that to say, God wants you to prosper. And when you sow into this ministry, we have no lid on us. And you will get a return. You will. Now, if you want to be a partner, you can do that. We have these brochures, and I don't know if we can even hand these out. We have so many here. But Also, if you'd like to just give a one-time gift tonight, you can make checks out to Z Ministries. That's our nonprofit organization. We're changing it to Joseph Z Ministries, but you can do that. If you'd like an envelope, please raise your hand tonight, and that handsome, tall man of God right there would be happy to get you an envelope. And please, please sow and sow how God would have you sow. Sow what stirs your heart up to sow. And saying that just to say, if you want to give, to be honest, this next year, we're looking to have partners. I'm believing God for 1,000 partners at $300 a month. I'm believing God for 1,000 partners at $300 a month. And people, like, they do the math, they go, that's a lot of money. Not if you're trying to get on TV and be on satellite and trying to bring things around the world and begin to change culture by the preaching of the word and raising up disciples through multiple platforms all over the globe. That's just a beginning point. And we're very serious about it. So if you feel compelled to do this or you feel compelled to really make something happen, we sure appreciate it tonight. So again, you can make checks out to Z Ministries. You can also give. You can text to give. What's that number? It's 719-259-0029.